broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it was refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. We also want you to know that we declare this nation shall endure. We believe in the greatest country on the face of the earth. We believe in the supreme law of the land. We believe in the checks and balances that made America great in the first place. And we believe turning to God rather than government is the ultimate solution. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. Man, we've got so much to talk about, so little time. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you so much. I'm always glad to hear you guys' voice, board op and you, and hear a little bit of a report from some of the different locations around the country. We're a mighty frosty morning here in my neck of the woods at 6 degrees Fahrenheit.
Woo-hoo!
And so it's mighty fresh. And, you know, it looks pretty clear, though. And actually, we should have a pretty good day. But this weekend, our 15th grandbaby is due, so we're looking forward to that. You know,
congratulations to all of you on that wonderful achievement.
Absolutely.
Blessing from the Almighty.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I'm talking about here. We see all of the churn of the world and the political nonsense and the buffoons that seem to try and ruin our lives and everything like that. And God continues to bless us with the things that really matter. And you know what? We need to cherish those things because there's always those scoundrels attempting to divert our attention from the correct path, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that America is under condemnation. Okay? America is under condemnation is our topic today. Let me explain what I mean. Ladies and gentlemen, God put forth his message of liberty as he helped the ragtag band known as the colonies. The very few that were willing to even stand up for the sacred cause of liberty in the days of the colonies, he helped that, I would call them the renegades. He helped these renegades beat the biggest, baddest military in the world. That was no accident, ladies and gentlemen. But God gave those who gave their sacred honors, their fortunes, their all to the sacred cause of liberty. He gave them a charge, if you will, a covenant. We've talked about this somewhat before. But I submit to you that we're under condemnation because we're breaking our part of the covenant. We as a nation are turning our back on Almighty God. We look to government for solutions. We look to stimulus money for answers and to save us. We look for a Donald Trump or a Barack Obama or whoever to save us. We look for love in all the wrong places, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now that America is under serious condemnation. The question becomes, is America condemned to repeat history and go the way of the dodo bird, as one person put it? Is America going to melt down like Rome or like the historical, quote, powerhouses before it? Where are we at? What are we going to do? What's going to be the future of the greatest country on the face of the earth? Is America becoming a satanic nation or a God-fearing nation? All right? There's a lot to discuss here, ladies and gentlemen, but I'll give you some examples. We violate the Sabbath day routinely. It was supposed to be a sign between God and us of our faithfulness to him, of our willingness to listen and obey him. It was supposed to be a delight. That's the Sabbath day. But we break it with reckless abandon now. Entertainment, buying and selling. I could go on and on and on. We even have the government by force saying, thou shalt not attend your worship services. It is absolutely psychotic, out of control, and flat out unacceptable in a God-fearing nation, a covenant nation like the United States of America. ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear, from Sabbath day breaking to scandal after scandal in the news, America loves a great scandal. Until the next one comes along, they love sexual scandals. You've got CNN with scandal after scandal. You've got sex tape scandals. You've got the John F. Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe scandal of the, I don't know if you want to call that the scandal of all time, but probably the biggest one, in at least in our lifetimes, right? You've got scandal after scandal. You've got dishonest money at the core of every single transaction. You've got the deep state, the shadow government on the take like you've never seen before. You've got murder and mayhem and disorder. You've got all the things that the Bible tells us will be the repercussions of a turn-your-back-on-God society. Now, to end up my monologue before we turn it over to the great Dr. Bradley to discuss this, I will say this. We've broken our covenants. We've turned our back on God as a nation. I know there's a faithful many. There's more faithful people nowadays than there was in Lot's time biblically, that's for sure. But ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear. Nations are not judged later at the judgment bar for their actions. Nations have no soul. Therefore, there's immediate repercussions or consequences for actions, or the lack of action, if you will. The lack of action is the lack of repentance. The actions are the continuing wayward trajectory of the freest people in the history of the world for the longest time. The greatest country. We are absolutely jettisoning everything we hold dear. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think that can happen without consequences, you are sorely mistaken. Dr. Bradley, I don't mean to paint a negative picture, but I do want a reality check. I do want to focus on solutions as we go, but I want people to understand, look, America is under great condemnation because we are violating God's laws literally at every turn. And that is absolutely 1,000% against or 180 degrees from what the covenant, the beginnings of America once was, and with our prayers and hard work can be again. Doctor, let's start there.
Well, you've opened a massive, Pandora's box in terms of trying to expose so much in so little time. We as a nation have been blessed so abundantly with virtually everything that any nation in the history of the world would have felt themselves overwhelmed with. Few, if any, nations have ever had the widespread prosperity and peace and the privilege of worshiping and raising our families and everything. It goes back to the General Welfare Clause in the Constitution. General welfare being the idea that it's good government. It's a predictable, it's a secure path that they tried to set up, a pathway that would allow us to have prosperity and peace, that would have, domestic violence would be minimal because there would be justice in the courts. Invasions and wars would be prevented. The economy would have been such that no funny money, if you will, no manipulation of the economy would be allowed to destroy your business or your prosperity in terms of, any savings you'd done through frugalness and so on. All of those things are in complete attack and violation now. We can look at the way we take war to the world. We can look at the way we abandon moral character through entertainment and music, so-called, and the things that we put our hearts and minds into. You can look at how the false economy is with funny money that's manipulated by people that own our economy, the private investors, if you will, that own our economy and manipulate it in their own benefit. We were shown the way by our founding fathers. But to be shown the way doesn't mean we're going to follow that way all the time. And sadly, we as a people have largely abandoned that, and we've put our trust in things that are not really our savior. And we think of ourselves as, we're pretty sophisticated. We don't worship those golden calf things that the ancients did. We don't worship those workings of our fingers, but don't we? If we worship those that lead us as our saviors, if we put at the forefront physicians and pharma companies and politicians and celebrities that hawk different things to us. If we put those things first in our lives, that's kind of, I think, a sign of what we have chosen to worship. And so in spite of our supposed sophistication in saying, oh, no, we never bow down before a golden calf, but wouldn't we? You know, are we now putting our energies and our, we hear the war drums being beaten. We don't look back at what our founders gave us at such great cost. And we don't look back at the disillusion of nations because of turning their backs on Almighty God. Shakespeare in The Tempest, he said, what's past is prologue. So meaning that the experience of the past is an introduction or a predictor to that which has come or is to come. And there's a guy named George Santayana that wrote something many, many decades ago. He said, those who cannot remember the past, well, we'll talk about this when we get back. It sounds like it's time to take a little break.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. I am Sam Buchman. Hard-hitting, candid talk at your fingertips always. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, BradyOnRadio.com, and more as we continue on your favorite talk channel.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, America is under condemnation. We'll talk about that continuing with Dr. Scott Bradley, but I submit to you, the whole church is under condemnation. Ladies and gentlemen, we must repent or else there remains a scourge and judgment to be poured out on the children of America, ladies and gentlemen. We are experiencing, ladies and gentlemen, in my humble view, an unprecedented general loss of testimony in the atonement of and divinity of Jesus Christ. All right, this is at the core of this, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, we will reap the whirlwind. It will not be fun. Dr. Bradley, I say not only is it America, it's the whole church, sir.
You know, it's interesting that if we look at history, which we really should, if we're going to learn, you know, we're going to have to learn from the lessons of the past. It is prologue. We find that prosperity very often leads to pride. Pride leads to an abundance, and the prosperity and pride together, we kind of tend to turn our backs on our God. I mean, it's like, what do we need him for? I mean, it's kind of like the guy that said, what do we need farmers for? We got grocery stores. We don't really recognize that that the things we've been blessed with have a purpose, and their purpose is not basically to make us, you know, so we can sit back and rest on our laurels and everything. They're to be used for good and noble purposes, to lift and bless the lives of our fellow men. And so often if we get, you know, we get government handouts. I mean, you know, now we're going to go worship at the government altar because, golly, they're the ones handing us all our prosperity, right? We don't understand that what they're handing out is literally destroying our economy so that we will not have the prosperity that we've had in the past. Our children and grandchildren will suffer from that. But, oh, yeah, we've got a pretty fine automobile. We got a nice home. We got credit cards. We got stock portfolios. We got bonds. I mean, we got sufficient money, whatever. I mean, stop and think about it. You look at Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. You know, that was in the prayer that was offered so many, you know, centuries ago. Very often, people were very fortunate to have sufficient to eat every day based upon their hard labor, the sweat of their brow, if you will. And nowadays, people are, I mean, you listen to advertisements, people trying to say, send us your hundreds of thousands of dollars and we'll make sure that you have a fat, lovely retirement or you're always secure or whatever. You know what? God sometimes humbles us. I mean, sometimes, you know, he gives us enough to see how we'll handle. This is how I kind of look at it. How will we use the abundance, the prosperity, the peace, the circumstances that we live in? And I think that, you know, that is a determiner or at least an indication of our character. And if we wish to continue to have his blessings poured out upon us, I think it behooves us to try and figure out a way to use all the abundance and the circumstances and not turn to the pride of the world and turn our backs on him and use Sundays as a holiday instead of a holy day and all those other things that come along with ignoring what the commandments have been all along. And we look at some of the ancient peoples that had the truth revealed to them. You know, Jacob's children, his 12 sons and the tribes that came from them. Over time, they just got distracted. And I fear many times we're doing the same thing in our world today. And, you know, we talk about, you know, you can't be a patriot unless you're willing to run off and kill some people around the world someplace. I mean, this is not the Prince of Peace talking. It's the war machine, the industrial complex that's going to make money off of these wars. And it's the big pharma companies. It's the big bankers that run our Federal Reserve. It's the entertainment industry that turns our hearts to the lust and leisure and licentiousness. I mean, there's so many stumbling blocks, you can't even hardly name them. And we seem to stumble over all of them all the time. And yet, we have been shown the way. We have the Holy Scriptures before us. I mean, I fear that there are many that never crack the book, so to speak. You know, it's kind of like, how are you going to get through the exam if you've never read the material? I mean, you know, and while we do know how it turns out, there's plenty of opportunity to fail along the wayside, and failure is an individual thing, as is salvation. And it behooves us to all say, ah, what lackest I? You remember the rich young man that they came to the Savior, and he says, what do I need to do to get eternal life? And the Savior mentioned the things, I've been doing these all my life. He says, one thing thou lackest. And this was not a charge to be given to everybody. I mean, the Savior discerned the stumbling block that this man had, and it had to do with, his wealth. And he says, come follow me. Sell everything you got. I mean, he could do so much good with what he had. Again, this is not a charge for all of us, but he said, sell everything you've got and come. And I think he was calling him to the apostleship. That's my personal opinion. Doesn't say that in the scriptures, but I think he was offering him an opportunity to devote his life to the eternal truths that the Savior had brought to the world and the hope that it was his. And this young man went away sorrowing. And sometimes I wonder, what lackest I? I mean, it's an eternal introspection, and I do it to myself. I don't have to look at you, Sam, and say, oh, man, what's Sam lacking? Oh, man, if Sam just had this.
Well, that's easy to see.
Well, that's maybe not, but maybe it is. But at any rate, I it's an introspection I think we all need to do. I think it's like, what am I lacking? What could I do to demonstrate? If in fact there was a charge brought someday that I was a Christian, I hope there would be enough evidence to convict me. And you know, someday that may be a really, really challenging spot to be in. And to say that, you know, in our time of prosperity, maybe that's kind of who counts the cost ultimately? But someday that charge may have some heavy burdens because of the people that we put in charge. There's a concerted effort to destroy our religious liberties. You know, we've talked before about in September of 2016, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission met and put out a 296-page document. And the bottom line of the document is they're trying to define our religious liberties as narrowly as possible, so that the, you know, our God-given rights will not take precedence over the quote-unquote new rights created under the new regime. And religions, if you look at institutional religions, I think they need to wake up and recognize, unless they stand tall and recognize the privilege of worship is an individual privilege, and religions are established based upon that individual privilege, I fear that if the individuals lose their religion, their privilege of worship, we'll find that the institutions end up kind of on the ropes too. And they'll be, oh, a Mother May I institution. Mother May I get together and worship. Oh, yeah, you can, but you can only discuss these things within the walls of your chapel or synagogue or temple or whatever. Don't take this to the marketplace. Do not take this to society. You can't talk on a radio show with Sam Bushman about the privilege of worshiping Almighty God. Because you know what? Somebody may be offended. You know, by golly, some of these guys may think that they're being attacked because you speak of this man called Jesus, you know, and oh man, we don't want to be constrained by all the things that he taught. And by the way, Thomas Jefferson was a great advocate of religious liberty. I know we're all over the place, but people don't understand how individual this God-given right is. Jefferson suggested that he was a religion of one because he felt his religious belief system was so unique among those that were on the earth at the time that there was probably nobody else that fully embraced what he did. And yet, and still, he had the right of practicing that religious belief. And he did temper that by saying it doesn't include this idea of doing things wicked and illegal. It's following the Savior's admonition, which he thought was the true gospel. His words were what we needed to listen to.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley on your radio. Hard-hitting talk continues. I submit to you that America and the whole church is under condemnation. We got to repent. We'll talk about it coming up. We got to talk about the four stages of the pride cycle as well. Hang tight.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
In a show of unity, Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin have met in Beijing as Moscow's deteriorating relationship with the West has pushed the countries to a more robust relationship, including business and a new gas and oil pipeline from Russia to China. Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin via a translator on Al Jazeera.
The world has undergone unprecedented changes and a pandemic in the last century. Sino-Russian relations have withstood the test of various storms.
Deep historical traditions of friendship and mutual understanding have allowed us to take our relations to the next breakthrough level.
More and more cities and states are jumping off the COVID-19 pandemic. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds is reporting Iowa's public health emergency proclamation will expire February 15th. Iowa says it's moving past the pandemic and will manage COVID-19 like other infectious illnesses. USA Radio News.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all natural testosterone booster, the safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Let's get a border crisis update.
States along the U.S. southern border with Mexico continue to see a flow of illegal immigrants and asylum seekers arriving there in hopes of being allowed to stay. Arizona Republican Congressman Andy Biggs joins Fox Business to describe what illegal immigrants are doing as they cross into his state.
Folks cross over, then get apprehended, they surrender, and it's very casual. They come across, they all have cell phones, they're live streaming or FaceTiming back home, telling people they get there. And in other sectors along Tucson sector, these are the people in camo carrying drugs. So it's out of control.
The Biden administration continues to argue that addressing the root causes of migration will reduce the flow of illegal immigrants arriving at the U.S. southern border. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
My fellow Americans, I submit to you that the United States of America is under serious condemnation. In fact, the whole church is under condemnation. We've literally denied God Almighty. We're not obedient. We're truth and truce breakers. We're dishonest in all of our dealings, money at the core of it all. It's just corruption literally at every level, ladies and gentlemen. And the pride cycle is live and well today. You say, Sam, what the heck is the pride cycle? Well, it's documented in business for business leaders, etc. It's been talked about in church sermons really worldwide for quite some time. It's been documented in history till the cows come home. But we must repent, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, there remain a scourge and judgment to be poured out upon the people of God. All right? We are experiencing an unprecedented general loss of testimony of the atonement and divinity of Jesus Christ. All right? There are four stages in this pride cycle we speak about. There's success, warning, deception, and downfall, ladies and gentlemen. The solution to the pride cycle, let's be very clear, is to repent and have humility. With that, Dr. Bradley, let's back up to this pride cycle discussion a little bit, because I think it's really where we are. You have success. America had the greatest success known to man for a country, for a society. The greatest economic engine, the freest, most prosperous, happy people on the planet. I mean, it was incredible success, right?
Well, we're also add to that the most powerful. I mean, we become the big bully. I mean, and I could tell you stories about where I've made presentations, and there have been people in America where I was calling us out and saying, we can't be the warmongers of the world, for example. And I've had a silent reception, and maybe had a foreign exchange student in the audience that talked after and said, you know, you're the only guy in the audience that gets this. This is how we look at America around the world, you know, as a bully. But, you know, it's interesting, the prosperity issue you talk about. If you're honest in it, look at throughout the history of the world, what nation has had a greater run at prosperity? I mean, I'm not just talking about a few minutes or a few days or a few months or even a few years. We have had centuries of prosperity. And that prosperity, I think, has brought us to the point where we probably are more susceptible to the pride cycle than almost any nation has ever had in all of history of the world. And to think that we might somehow avoid the risks of the pride cycle, I think we're being a little bit puffed up in our pride. And, you know, you talk about morality and all those kind of things. Here's a statement that Thomas Jefferson made. He said, "The interests of society require the observation of those moral precepts only in which all religions agree. For all forbid us to murder, to steal, to plunder, or bear false witness." Now, just a second. If you wanted to deconstruct that, the murder is war. The stealing has to do with government things, and plundering has to do with it. The false witness has to do with the way we're manipulating our court systems. Okay, so anyway, you say, oh, we don't do that. Oh, yes, we do. It's epidemic, if you will, in society. I'm going on with this statement, though. And that we should not intermeddle with the particular dogmas in which all religions differ. I mean, think about it. The mode of baptism, for example. How do you get this Holy Spirit? All that kind of stuff. We differ from many religions, and which are unconnected with morality. He ties it all back to morality. The practice of morality being necessary for the well-being of society. We all agree on the obligation of the moral precepts of Jesus, and nowhere will they be found delivered in greater purity than in his discourses. That's the end of his statement. Now, here's interesting. Every night before he retired, he read in the original languages the pure doctrine of Christ, if you will, reading his discourses only. He felt that priestcrafts and different religious dogmas had entered into and changed that in the shape of the religions of the day. That's why he felt so unique in his religious beliefs. But yet what he tried to go back and study were the words that are captured of the Savior while he walked in mortality among his fellow man upon the earth. And so every night he studied them in the original languages. And the idea that that's the religious freedom that we have. I mean, if you've got a religion that believes in honor killings, for example, that violates the forbidding of murder. If you worship at the altar that says, oh, we've got to be able to have our agent, the government, come and take what you have earned to redistribute it to somebody else, they're stealing and plundering, okay? All of these things can be found in the modern society in a just great abundance. And what we do is we deceive ourselves, and I don't know how else to put it, to believe that, oh, no, we're much more sophisticated than that. Oh, I mean, we don't steal. My goodness gracious, I wouldn't steal. But we elect individuals that take from others using the force of government. That's one of the ways that we understand, at least many people say, well, that's, you know what, I can do what I want to do if I get my agent to do it for me and I make the law reflect what I want it to be so I can manipulate it. And by the way, that Frederick Bastiat spoke at length about this, about having the gendarmes. You know, he was French. He says, you get the police on your side. And we see this, by the way, I don't know if you've seen some of the interactions with the truckers up in Canada, that the police are going to strong arm, use force to break the back of their efforts to regain their freedom in a nonviolent way. They're out showing the hundreds of thousands and even millions of people that want their freedom back, and the gendarmes, the police of the day, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, are saying, no, we're going to come in and we're going to break your back by arresting you, confiscating your trucks. We'll imprison you, and we'll take you out of here in a police car or whatever. And so the gendarmes have been co-opted in many instances, and it's time for our gendarmes to say, no, my job. You know, you look at what Richard Mack talks about with the constitutional sheriff, and how the sheriff is really got a responsibility to preserve those blessings of liberty for our fellow man, and when the people's agent, if you will, becomes involved in the stealing and plundering and so on, the taking away of God-given rights, the right to keep and bear arms, the privilege of worshiping. I mean, think about how we've been denied our privilege of worship because of a phony baloney movement, and the idea of assembly to be able to speak freely about it. I mean, I've told you before on your program how my 1,500 videos that I had on my website have been expunged because they don't meet the standard that's now, and believe me, they're not profane.
Well, and Dr. Bradley, this highlights the four stages in the pride cycle that you mentioned. So we had incredible success. We've had warnings till the cows come home. And now we're at the deception stage. We're well into it. The deception stage says, Dr. Scott Bradley, your videos can't even be seen. Because if people see the truth, they might recognize the truth. If they recognize the truth, they might embrace the truth. If they embrace the truth, the con game's over. So we got to, by deception, take down everything that you do. We got to call it fake news. And we got to say it's not factual. And we got to fact check you. And we can't have an important dialogue. The First and Second Amendments being obliterated before our very eyes. We're in the deception stage. Deception about honest money or that debt matters. The deception about, hey, you know what? You can't even really attend church because, by golly, if you do, everybody might die. So you got this deception about going to church. We're well into the deception stage, approaching the downfall stage in the pride cycle right now, sir.
Tragically, I fear you're right, Sam, and it's time to turn it around. It's time to say, wait, what lack I? You know, and we've got to stop making these institutional decisions that allow theft and deception and everything to occur. Whether it's the bankers or whether it's our political powers that be that are redistributing our wealth. I mean, the people say, oh, wait, the government gave me my $1,200 or $1,400 or whatever the number is that they've been handing out like hotcakes. Oh, no. I personally know, people that profess to be greatly devoted to liberty. And they run small businesses that they have accepted government handouts of hundreds of thousands of dollars that were unrighteously pillaged out of the hands of hardworking people. And, you know, it may have only been $10 or $50 or $1,000 from me, but it was done in an order to be able to redistribute that wealth according to the way that people have pulled the levers of government. And if they're pulling them in their favor, excluding the things of liberty, we're in deep trouble. Deep trouble.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Pride Cycle's real history documents that we are in the deception stage, well into it on every front. The downfall stage is approaching. I pray it isn't true, but I predict it's reality. We're in trouble in America, ladies and gentlemen, but there are solutions which we point to every day on your radio. Dr. Scott Bradley returns in seconds.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. His lifelong eternal goal is to preserve the nation, and his collegiate series is available to match at freedomsrisingsun.com. We're talking about the pride cycle in the four stages, and first is incredible success. America's seen it. Then comes the warnings. We've had warnings aplenty, ladies and gentlemen. Then the deception stage, which we're well into, followed by the great fall, if you will, stage. We're in the deception stage, and really the deception has been going on for quite some time, well over 100 years with the Federal Reserve, for instance. Deception about what real, honest, valuable money is, etc. But really, I believe the deception really kicked off to where the nation didn't seem to care much about deception, is in two of the greatest matters, the greatest sins known, which is murder. Hey, we go to war and we say it's necessary, but it's really unjust. It's a great deception about our foreign policy. And it's also a great deception about sexual promiscuity. We talked yesterday about we love a good scandal. We love sex talk everywhere. It's a shame. And we got to repent, okay? We don't need scandal. We don't delight when people get in to family-destroying, heartbreaking-destroying reality. It never does anybody any good, but Americans seem to thrive on it and love it. The reality shows prove the point. The Bachelor, the Bachelorette, I could go on and on and on, right? All right, but listen, I believe we really crossed a Rubicon when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, the leader of the free world. Here he is.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody it's a lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part, for which I am solely and completely responsible. But I told the grand jury today, and I say to you now, that at no time did I ask anyone to lie, to hide or destroy evidence, or to take any other unlawful action. I know that my public comments and my silence about this matter gave a false impression. I misled people, including even my wife.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the president of the free world. And really, he got away with that with really no repercussions at all. In fact, there's serious allegations of rape, forcible rape by this man. The Me Too movement runs around and does nothing. I believe that was the time that we kind of crossed a Rubicon, Dr. Bradley, before deceptions had accountability, before there was some modicum of honor and truth. And wait a minute, you know what? The wheels of justice may grind slow, but they do indeed grind, and the truth eventually will come out, et cetera, et cetera. Well, to some degree, the truth came out, but the accountability was severed at that point going forward. Now, I know there's other points in history that you could look at too, but to me, that was a critical one because it was so nationally covered. It was so in your face. And the American people really, for the most part, could care less, doctor.
You know, it's interesting. I grew up in the Father Knows Best era, you know, the Leave It to Beaver, you know, the Doris Day time, if you will. And she was a little bit racy for, you know, or innuendo sometimes. But the point of the matter is that America was largely a moral nation. Yes, there was, you know, the underbelly that sometimes was so, you know, you had to go looking for trouble, though. I mean, you had to go behind the counter to get the magazine or whatever, you know. It's one of those things. But nowadays, they're blatantly exposed, whether it's in your home, on your television set, with videos and those kinds of things, and video games, the immorality, the deception, the issues of violence and using harmful substances that destroy souls, literally. There's computer games out now where the players have to rape their sister in order to progress to a higher level. I mean, it's absolutely absurd what's happened. And so, you know, even clear back in, you know, 1974, when the Watergate thing was going on and Richard Nixon ended up resigning because there was an outrage. There was a bipartisan outrage at what had happened, and he was going to be impeached and removed from office. And he bailed and got a pardon with a prearranged process that I believe was thought through well. And to tell you the truth, I mean, as bad as Nixon's, his offenses were, the things that are happening daily now are they're way beyond that. And we give them a wink and a nod.
Dr. Bradley, I'm sure glad that no one took too much offense to that. Because, you know, when Hillary becomes president in 24, I'll be able to have dinners with all the senators' wives. It's going to be phenomenal. You just wait. It's going to be a sight to behold.
Well, some other new modern Lolita Express will continue to fly. And it's not just Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton may be an icon of that movement.
It was a chief, in my opinion, jumping off point into this deception abyss, though, because it was the president of the United States with the audacity to blatantly lie to the American people, get caught, and publicly admit it. I don't know that there's been such a blatant contrast over a sexual sin, which is one of the worst sins you can commit as a married man. I mean, it's murder and then sexual sins related to that. You know, I don't believe that Bill Clinton has enough knowledge to sin against the Holy Ghost per se. But you look at this, and the only real solution to the pride cycle, ladies and gentlemen, is humility followed by sincere repentance. That is the only way out of this, ladies and gentlemen. And if we're not very careful, downfall is the next stage, or is starting to already even happen. Two stories to highlight the point. Listen carefully. Told to restrict free meals to the homeless, now the church sues city in Oregon. So an Oregon church was told they could only feed the homeless twice a week. And the church got so incensed, they literally sued the Oregon city over this. We're talking about feeding the homeless. We're talking about clothing the naked. We're talking about one of the most fundamental, true actions of disciples of Christ, doctor.
You know, it's interesting to me that the state seems to intervene. Again, they're trying to narrowly define those God-given rights that we have. And let's go back a couple of years. And again, I'm not the head of any church or anything like that. But I think back about when the government came out and said, oh, no, you can't have religious gatherings. I mean, okay, so wait, let me read the fine print. It says if a virus comes along or a perception of a virus, we have now lost our religious liberties. You know, if I had, I'm sad to say, maybe I'm a little bit too, you know, in your face about this, but my response as a religious institution would have been to the government, the heck you say. That would have been the nicest way to put it. We are going to continue. We may choose to do something differently, but it will not be at your behest. You have no right to destroy our ability to get together, to worship, to hold our services in whatever practice there were, and we will meet you in the court, and we will turn it into basically a court case that we invite all other religions to join us in. And we'll see how long, Mr. Governor or Mr. President, you can foist these things on our people. Again, we will choose, but we will not be directed by government. But the fact is, we have bowed the knee often enough. Now, you mentioned war. War is probably the most onerous burden that any country ever faces. But all other acts of immorality are magnified by war. War is institutionalized, legalized mass murder. Okay, and so why should we be surprised if immorality blossoms, if dishonesty blossoms, if base behavior of all kinds blossoms? Every single bad thing is magnified by war. And you look at how war has been used through the centuries. We've talked about this before. And right now, the war drums are being beaten in the United States. There's a distraction that needs to happen of the people away from the debauchery.
A deception, you mean?
Yeah. Well, it's a distraction that they're creating, that they're deceiving the people, so the people will say, oh, we don't need to look at Joe Biden's incompetence and the invasion from the southern border, and we don't need to look at all of the immorality that's around it. Oh, my goodness, we're going to have to go to war with the Russians, or it may be some other process that happens. It may be the Chinese or whomever. But the idea is it'll distract from the incompetence and the failures of an administration. That's the way the government has always done things, and Madison spoke of that. Clear back, 250 years ago. And so we know that's how they do this, and we as a people have got to wake up and say, wait, they're taking us to a war which literally will expand the immorality and all the other problems we have and accelerate the demise of the nation, but yet and still we allow ourselves to be distracted. And again, it's a personal introspection we've all got to do and say, where do I stand in this thing? Am I going to be with Lindsey Graham saying we got to go get some Marines killed on this thing? Or am I going to recognize that everything that's happening violates the baseline principles of the Prince of Peace? And, this is not to detract from the skills and the bravery and everything of the special operators that killed this ISIS guy. But look over there, they're saying to us. Yeah, wow, aren't we cool? We killed this ISIS guy. We created ISIS, really. We trained them. We armed them. We
funded them.
Everything. And now we have the best enemies money can buy. Same thing happened with the Soviet Union. Same thing happened with China. We create the best enemies money can buy so that the immorality, the pillaging of the people and everything like that can continue. And it's time for us to say, no, we're going back. We have a pathway. I've told you the story. As a six-year-old, I got lost. And my first impression, which I followed, was to run. That did not make things better. You don't get where you need to go by running through the briars and the brambles and stumbling in through the creek and falling over the deadfall, all that kind of good stuff. What you need to do first is sit down and look at your back trail. Keep your head. We have a back trail. That back trail is well-defined. We can go back to what was the baseline that established this nation. If we'll
ladies
do that,
and gentlemen,
we'll be okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to pray for a black robe regiment in America once again. We, the people, need to have humility and repent if we want to jettison the pride cycle, which leads to downfall. We're between the deception and the downfall stages for sure. Approaching downfall well into deception, and we need to change. It starts with humility, a recognition of reality, and then repentance to change the game. It's our only solution, but it is available. And with pure application of these principles, God will protect and preserve his people. That is a promise from God himself that I articulate on your radio to bring us into remembrance of what matters. This nation shall endure. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, freedomsrisingsun.com. God save the Republic.